PFT Media.
Swooping back in, half-true history, embracing the myths, loving the legends, and poking fun at a couple of statistics here. We ready for head down to the islands, Pedro?
Let's do it!
All right, here we go. We're gonna get a little topical, amigo. Right?
Yeah. Eight more months.
We'll see.
And then it starts all over again. Right? Yeah.
And then that death clock hits midnight.
Welcome to Half True History, everybody. I am your professor for this half hour, Dan P. And of course, right next to me is the Ponce de Leon to my Nicholas Diovado, Pedro Lima.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
That's good? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
You got to be careful with Dan.
Yeah, I am so lost. I'm like, wait,
look, he understands Ed McMahon. He understands Ed Richter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, over here, super producer Chris Crespo.
What up?
Oh, you don't get a fancy name.
No. Keep it simple.
He can be the Hernan Cortez to our little
group. Oh, is that good? Yeah. I can't remember if that's good.
Now, Pedro's loves him.
That's the dude that said burn the boats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely burn the boats. Always burn the boats.
Always.
That's how I live my life. It's on my wristband. ABB.
Always
burn the boats. Always burn the boats.
So, Pedro.
Si, senor.
Okay. You've lived on the islands.
I lived on the islands, yes. The island of New York.
Yes, the island of New York.
Island of Staten.
The island of Staten I did live. And I lived in Long Island as well. Right. I lived in the island of Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
Ooh. And island of Puerto Rico.
Hey!
There we go.
So, yes, I'm from the islands.
Have you ever been to Cuba?
No. I heard it's crazy over there.
I was about, what stories go from island to island about Cuba?
Well, you got to remember, I grew up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So everything that we've heard about Cuba was like they're crazy. It's, you know,
right.
They kill you. They're terrorists kind of thing. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was young, because in the 80s, there was a lot of airplane hijacking happening.
Yes.
And a lot of, we're taking this plane to Cuba. I remember we were going to go to Eastern, to New York, and we're going to fly Eastern Airlines. And maybe I had the breakdown, or maybe my younger brother had the breakdown or whatever. But we were freaking out because it's like, what if they hijack the plane and it goes to Cuba?
When you're a kid in the 80s.
When you're a kid in the 80s.
That's a huge concern.
Yeah, dude. That's your world.
That's your number three concern behind quicksand. Uh-huh. Of course.
Quicksand was there, but it wasn't like...
When you're a kid, there's no greater danger, possible danger than quicksand. According to media.
The sewer creatures.
That's number two.
That's the one.
Number two. Quicksand, sewer creatures, and then
Chud.
Being hijacked on the plane and going to Cuba.
Hijacked on the plane.
A Chud, a Gremlin, a Ghoulie.
Gremlin.
The Ghoulies are the ones that come up out of the toilets.
Yeah, the Ghoulie. Yeah, but that was more Chud was the one that terrified
Chud
me.
Chud is straight up sewer dwelling.
I would not. If we walked down the street and there was a. I had a terrifying fear of that. Gremlins, not so much. And funny because I just rewatched Gremlins the other day.
Yeah.
Still hilarious.
Yeah, good movie.
It is. Still hilarious.
Great Christmas movie. One of Cuba's favorites.
Right. One of Cuba's. El Gremlin.
They probably just got it. It's really big right
for
now.
For them, it's new.
So, I mean, we always talk about Cuba. And when we talk about Cuba, we always think, of course, of the Castro regime. Right. The
Fidel.
Castro regime. And of course, it's been a little bit topical in the United States recently.
Yeah, why? What happened?
There's a certain Democratic Socialist candidate.
Oh, no.
May or may not have opened his mouth.
Oh, no.
And said not everything about Castro's regime was bad.
I thought we covered this before the show went through its transformation, when this show was Devils in the Details.
What is communism / socialism?
Right. No, that was one episode. The easiest question was, hey, do you like Nazis?
No, I don't.
Do you see how quick that response was? Like that, right? So it's the same thing.
Did you really think about the question?
When you deal with Cuban issues,
yep.
Hey, was Castro good?
Horrible.
You see? Quick! Mm-hmm. Out the tongue.
No need.
No need. I'm pretty sure it's like, what was it? John Oliver in HBO covered Hitler.
Yes.
And he goes, nothing that Hitler did was good. Nothing. The only thing good Hitler did was kill Hitler. He was the only one that was able to kill Hitler.
That's true.
And I'm pretty sure Hitler probably had great health care. Or, you know.
He was a vegan.
Yeah.
Right, vegetarian.
And no traffic during the Hitler regime.
Right.
But pretty much time. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was, after he was gone, people were saying, man, you know what? The good thing about gunshot right after. Don't say the good thing. It never works.
Ossie
Guillen was a great baseball coach.
Right.
Brought a championship to Chicago before the Cubs did.
Mm-hmm.
Praised and loved. The Florida Marlins turned into Miami Marlins. They're going to open a new stadium. They got new ownership. Mm-hmm. They bring them down there. And this idiot says, my good friend Fidel Castro, get the F out of here.
Especially in Miami.
In Miami, son.
Oh, my goodness.
So every politician, every historian, every person, memorize this phrase if you ever want to go down this dark path. One of the things we were able to salvage from their regime was, and that way, you can mention the VW bugs. You can mention Italian cinema without having to say, you know what was great about Benito Mussolini?
True.
So, yeah, you can just what we can one of the things we can salvage from.
We can't say everything wasn't bad,
right?
By Castro. No, everything was bad.
Everything was bad.
But what can we salvage
now,
Bernie?
What you can't do,
Guayaberas.
What you can't do is say only Castro was a bad ruler in Cuba, and that's where we get here for the stories.
Okay.
Here,
Wait, you're saying Castro wasn't the first guy?
Not the first psychopath, not the first person to rule by terror, not the first person to have protesters disappear mysteriously.
I can't protesters wait to see.
Protesters disappear all the time. I mean,
it sounds like Dan's about to humanize Castro. I cannot wait to see how this episode
gets
canceled.
Listen, Pedro, one of the things we can salvage from this episode are the things that Dan might be able to teach us.
So go ahead, Dan. I think we're going more down the line of, no, you guys are just a nation of assholes. So hopefully, I'm sorry. I do apologize, but yes, your leader's not the best histories on this one. So as you peel back the layers, of course, everyone knows the guy before Castro, which was Fulgencio Batista. Okay. Now, Batista, we liked Batista in the United States. The mafia loved him. We owned all the hotels on his coastline.
Right. Yeah. That's a plot point in The Irishman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's in Godfather.
And in The Godfather.
And The Godfather, too. Yeah.
The revolution's happening
but
Godfather,
I mean, in The Irishman, though, they're
I'm going to put $1 million on the desk.
I'm saying in The Irishman, though, they're talking about real people.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's about real people.
And that boy that created Las Vegas was Mo Green.
Mo Green.
Yeah, they were talking about how JFK, what he was doing at the time, and
he was banging Cubans two at a time.
And they were hoping for the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I think they were helping him. There's allegations that the mafia helped secretly.
Yes.
You know, it's like conspiracy type stuff.
But, mm-hmm.
Because, just like you said, they had a monetary interest.
They was, and you know, United States, we were friendly with Fulgencio Batista because he was anti-communist.
Ahaha.
Because in the United States, we are more likely to forgive a fascist than a communist. Oh. That is our motto.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because you can still be capitalist and fascist.
Is this in China communist?
China is also not really communist.
Okay.
That's the thing. It's China is really just its old empire with a different name.
Okay.
It's the empire system. It's the dynasty system. Just like Cuba is still the military dictators it was since the 1500s.
Okay.
But they've changed the name to sound a little bit more modern. Maybe they got a different inspiration. But this is where that nature versus nurture comes in. If you've never had the proper support growing up, you usually just turn to kind of a nasty person or a bit of a loser.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same thing with countries, too. It's not just people. And so, you know, with this, with Cuba, they suffer a lot of the problems that most Latin American countries have.
Okay.
Because the Spanish came in 1500 and just raped the area. I mean, they took all the resources. They enslaved the natives. They raped the women. And that's why you got the mixed mestizos. You know, they had this whole theocracy. The church was backing them up because they were doing everything for Christians.
Uh-huh.
And
fear of God.
Exactly. And you have these governors who are put in charge. And Hernan Cortez was the first governor of Cuba. Before he goes to conquer the Aztecs, he's the governor put there by Nicolas de Ovando.
Okay.
And basically the plan was put everyone to work. Anybody resists, that tribe disappears. And then anybody who's left, you split them up among the islands so that they can never talk or see each other ever again. And that was the plan. And that's what Cortez did. And that's what Villa Cruz did after him. And et cetera, et cetera. Every Spanish governor up until their independence in 1900. So you're already looking at a country that has had up to 400 years of military dictatorships and oppression.
Okay.
That's all they've known, really. They've always been, and then at that point it becomes
normal. It
becomes the normal.
Yeah,
it becomes the normal.
It's their oxygen. That's how we breathe, and that's
exactly
the way it is.
Especially for the poor class, the closer you are to native, the worse you were in that society. More pure blood. I believe the mix there is mostly Caribs. Usually, was the original tribes in Cuba. There, Caribs, a couple of Taínos, a few Arawaks, but Carib was the big one. Not Carib, I'm probably Siboney. Siboney was the big one, sorry. So there we are there. And so you're looking at just dictator after dictator. And the same thing with most of the Latin American countries too. And then when they get their independence, you know, thank God the United States was there to help them get their independence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wink.
It's a really good thing that William Taft was there to be the governor of Puerto Rico after independence.
Rolled up with that navy. We're here to liberate you.
Mm-hmm. Wait, we got independence 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, we've been free for a couple weeks now.
We got you guys.
We got you. New free.
Take down those flags. We're good.
Yeah. And of course,
stop speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, every Puerto Rican knows as far as what the United States does.
Woo!
Well, not every Puerto Rican.
That's gonna be an episode that me and Crespo are just gonna take
let
over.
You guys unleash.
Yeah,
but
we'll save that for when he can make. Right. Right. Like, all right, let's just talk about Puerto Rico.
Right, and then of course, yeah,
we'll do a book review of the war against Puerto Rico.
We'll just sit here and read the book. It's a good book, guys.
You know, we should do that. Just read a chapter,
and then just be like, outrage.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry.
No, but of course you guys know, being used to the island Puerto Rico, you know that the United States gave you guys the best land, and they just took whatever. Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So
I mean, they basically just let everyone go about their business and didn't interfere at all.
Right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Same exact thing. There's more than just Guantanamo Bay that the United States takes after. That's just the one we never let go of. And we still own it today. So
still use it.
For those of you who don't know, we still use it. Still there. Not closed. Definitely. Thanks, not Obama.
Closed. It's not his watch anymore. He did make that promise.
It was a campaign promise.
He made a campaign promise. That is very true.
I'm calling you out, sir.
That's very true.
Yeah, don't make a campaign.
No, you're right.
Yeah,
right. No new taxes. We get it.
Right.
We get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Mexico will pay for this well.
Right. We got it.
For some reason, that one's not sticking. I don't know why.
Teflon.
Yeah. God dang it. God bless you.
All right. Here,
God bless you there.
So, obviously, things have taken over. And unlike And just like every other Latin American country that finds its independence, if you've never run your government by yourself before, and all of a sudden you're given independence, but you've never had a model, you've never been allowed to even try and run yourself. Like, you know, you give your kids a little bit more freedom as they grow up in order to get them ready for when they're out on their own. That's what you should be doing, you know? Like, you should be teaching your kid how to do his laundry, how to cook, how to something like that, how to fix a car, you know? And then when they go out into the world, they're not, you know, crying in the corner of their dorm room lobby.
In dirty clothes.
In dirty clothes.
With a flat tire.
With a flat tire eating a cold burrito. So that's what you do.
Oh, college.
And that's basically, that's what the British did to the United States. Britain was so poor that it was like, look, we don't have the money to govern you. You got to do your own thing.
You're now on your own.
We'll come in to collect the taxes. And so the United States had about 150 years worth of running each other before they were able to get independent. And so they were able to fall into a system that they understood.
Because they were already working it even by accident.
Right.
Yeah, interesting.
But with Cuba, with Venezuela, with Colombia, et cetera, all these Latin American countries. Mm-hmm. All right, well, what do we know? Well, we know we just let the Spanish government do everything.
We know strong-armed dictators.
Right. Oh, we know military gets results, and that's who's in power. Oh, and so they fell into that trap.
What did you call it? Military? You called it something specifically militarized, military? The style of governance? I thought you gave it a name.
I mean, military dictatorship.
Just military dictatorship is all it is.
It's rank. It's just by rank. This is the head guy. And you
head guy of the army. They rule by the tanks rolling down the street. Right, right. Do you have tanks? No, then we're in charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to know what this tank does to your door?
No, then we're in charge. Then we're good. Understood. Okay. Right.
So the culture really affects how a country is going to go. Even the United States. We're used to having us versus them. That's how the United States has always worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were under Great Britain, we always had the states were always playing off against each other.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, we New Yorkers versus these New Jersey guys. Then it was
80s was us versus Russia.
Yeah.
That was the hot. It's back. That was the hotness right there.
It's back.
So we always had the enemy. That's how the United States has survived. It's the even when it was British versus Americans, it was American patriots versus British loyalists, North versus South, Democrats, Republicans. Mm-hmm. Like, we've always had, that's our custom, is always to have the opponent.
Hmm. Yeah.
And so we always fall into that trap because that's our culture. But with Cuba and with the others, their culture was the man with the gun controls. And it falls into that. And so you're looking at a series of really bad dictatorships and quote-unquote presidents. So
presidentes.
Yeah. So they have, you know...
Did Bautista call himself presidente?
Yes, he did.
How far back does the presidente title go, do you know?
President title goes back to about 1901.
In Cuba, specifically. In Cuba. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
About 1901... Cuba gets its own president for about 3 years, and the United States comes over and becomes governor for about 10 years or so. And then we hand it back over to the Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, there actually is a Cuban president who's there for 4 years. He steps down, and the Cuban president for 4 years.
What?
He steps down until 1925.
Okay.
What happens in 25?
A man by the name of Geraldo Machado takes over.
Okay.
And he will rule from 1925 to 1933.
Okay.
All right. Almost doubled it.
And he's a fantastic president because over 100% of the people voted for him every single election.
Oh, wow. That's unheard of.
You can't argue with those kind of numbers.
No. 100%?
Yeah, so...
How good was he?
I mean, he was so good that he kept people voting for him, even though production had stopped and imports dropped. And,
really?
But amazingly, he was still very popular.
Hmm.
And I think it was because he was so good that all of his critics, they left the island, or must have left the island, because they weren't to be found anywhere.
Okay.
Afterwards. Huh. So they were realized, I can't compete with this guy.
What's this guy's last name?
Machado, I'm probably pronouncing, butchering it horribly. Butchering.
Great choice of words.
M-A-C-H-A-D-O?
Machado. Machado. Machado.
Machado.
Machado.
That's Russian for Putin.
Gerardo Machado is Russian for
Putin. Gerardo Machado, don't you ever complain. You will find yourself on the sea. Gerardo Machado.
Real Disney calls. It It's their new Latin American expansion program. Yeah.
It's helping all kids in
the It's a Three Caballero sequel.
With Sorry, Raul de Iguana. Just witnessing everything. Let me tell you a story about the Cuba I know in 1928.
So eventually he gets overthrown in 1933 because that's all the Cubans know. When you're mad with someone, you overthrow them.
And the people overthrow him? Who overthrew
him? The military overthrow.
Yeah.
Military overthrows him, led by a sergeant named Fulgencio Batista.
Ooh, wow. Fancy name.
Yes, he was now quickly promoted to colonel right afterwards.
Okay.
Very.
Was he backed by the United States?
Not yet.
So all this is happening just internally Cuban politics.
Right. We're a little bit busy in America dealing with the Great Depression. So
yeah, just coming out of the war.
You're on your own.
Great
right.
deal.
Yeah, Hitler has just been elected chancellor. So this is like
oof.
All the assholes are lining up.
A lot of problems.
At this point.
Gotcha. Cuba can just do whatever at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you look at the Cuban registry of presidents, you'll see a bunch of presidents until Fulgencio Batista takes over in the late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
But what you'll do is as you read each of these presidents' bios, they were only there a year, each of them, until they were removed by Fulgencio Batista.
Wow.
So he basically rules from 1933 to 1959. Just
wow. So whoever's there, Batista will be like, nope.
Yep.
Next. Mm-hmm. Nope.
As soon as they do something he doesn't like,
gone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, gone as in
deposed. I don't think we don't do too many assassinations for them.
Right.
But you know, they're ousted.
Okay.
Ousted.
Exiled maybe.
Right.
Go to Chile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, go to Peru.
South America, Central America's right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Go to Bolivia.
Heck, Florida's right there.
And again, the people just take it because that's the norm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the norm, and it's always been that way. And once again, the poor live under this yoke. That's the way we go. And Batista, of course, once the war is over, makes nice with the United States, says he'll never be communist. We give him a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
We let he lets the mafia buy the hotels, do everything like that, and we just look the other way when Fulgencio does what every Cuban military or Spanish governor has done: make people disappear who make the island disagreeable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the system there. I mean, the atrocities of Batista do not compare to Castro, though. They do not compare at all to its height. But they are atrocities.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, hundreds of thousands of people disappearing at this time, just like all the Spanish governors before mm-hmm. him. It was the culture.
He was following the playbook.
It was the culture. And
it's like, hey, someone left this playbook around here. Maybe we should follow it.
And partially, this is the fault of the United States. We had a chance to get in there and actually monitor self-reliance government. We could have made them a workable republic.
Sure.
But instead, we wanted to use them for their bases.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have broke the cycle if we wanted to. I truly believe that. And that was a mistake back then. It was the imperial days, and all we cared about was resources and naval bases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Back then. Not now.
Yeah, naval bases, I mean.
We don't.
Yeah. Back then, yeah.
Right, back then.
That's the only way they can move.
We obviously treat the Puerto Ricans like they're equal now.
Look, so we don't need resources. Yeah. We got them. Jail.
You guys don't have corrupt governors at all because we've taught you how to properly do it.
Now we've learned how to overthrow them.
Yeah.
We just play reggaeton in the cathedral and just dance until they get tired of the music. And then they move away. They're fine. I'm done with this Bad Bunny song.
And so Castro,
Perreo Combatido,
and Che Guevara and Raul Castro, you know, we know the Cuban Revolution, 1959, now they're in control.
And what triggered it? Because I don't want to romanticize it, but right. just to be fair, I did see the movie Che with Benicio del Toro, because
right.
it's mandatory. Puerto Rican has to watch a Puerto Rican,
movie. Yeah, star.
In it, yeah. Right, if you're in it, you're...
Even if it's playing a Cuban, he's still got to see it. Mm-hmm. Or actually, it's playing Argentinian. Excuse me.
Correct. And I guess because of the shirts and stuff like that, and to, you know, Rage Against the Machine, making them romanticize them mm-hmm. and everything like that, it just urged for a movie to be made on this. And then you watch the movie and be like, okay. And the way that I see the movie, I get the intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But just like with great power, greater corruption.
Right.
The intentions were great.
Sure. I mean, I believe they legitimately wanted to help the lower classes and the lower working classes. I legitimately believe that was the grand design in the beginning.
Uh-huh. That was the inspiration that got them down the road towards power.
But when things go bad,
so much power,
you revert to what you know. And living in Cuba, all you know is the military dictatorship. And so you freak out, you panic, you go to the thing that keeps you comfortable, what you know, and you do it on a more massive level because at this point, you've got the United States gunning for you. You've got the whole free, I mean, you're the only real, like all your friends are across the ocean.
China, Soviet Union.
Yeah, you're alone.
Although Castro didn't give a flying F, dude. Castro would be like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Like up to the 80s. I mean, if we're going to salvage anything, what Castro did.
Mm-hmm. From this regime.
From the regime. Without this regime, we would not have Scarface.
Right. Why there's such a bigger reaction? This is true. And now I want to see Al Pacino playing an old.
Oh, Fidel it's so Castro. Bad. It's a comedy now. Oh,
I don't know, guys. The Bay of Pigs.
Hooah!
Hooah!
So now, the atrocities definitely amped up a little bit more with Castro. Correct. It puts people into labor camps. Yes, there is an increase in education, but from what I've heard from people from the island, or people's parents from the island, the education was all Marxist. It wasn't like you were free to read whatever you wanted. Yeah, it was an increase in education, provided you read the books that he told you to
read. So it's like going to a Christian school in Texas.
Absolutely.
Like Scientology university.
Exactly.
Nothing but L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah. Now, why is this a bigger reaction, though, for Castro than anyone else? And the difference is the people who are subjugated this time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference.
Okay.
Before, Fulgencio, Mercado, Cortez, they were the nobodies.
Mm-hmm.
They made them disappear. But Castro was attacking the upper middle class, the people with money.
Now,
right? They don't. They don't in the middle of the night rob the Cuban treasury and sail over to Miami and buy all these houses. There's a reason they're able to establish themselves.
So the atrocities were happening the whole time. And it wasn't until the people with money were starting to get squeezed.
Yes.
Then it's like, oh, look how bad they are.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a sense like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was weird because just like Puerto Ricans, there's different tones.
Right.
Skin tones, colors of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Ricans, we have, you know, black Puerto Ricans.
Right.
Light-skinned Puerto Ricans.
Afro-Caribbean and Spanish descendants.
And then you got the light-skinned Cubans and the dark-skinned Cubans.
And how many?
And I've always said this, so and sorry to my Cuban friends, but it's always the light-skinned Cubans that have the most hatred towards Castro.
Hmm.
And I don't know the atrocities as much as anything like this. But it's
just an anecdotal observation that you're making.
The ones that make it over, like,
they have influence. They know how to assemble the press.
Unless you can pitch, you don't make it over.
Uh-huh. And why you don't hear that complaint from a lot of dark-skinned Cubans is not because they were elevated, but they have been used to being shit on for years, for centuries.
Okay.
The dark-skinned Cubans, to them, it's just a different flag over them in the fields at this point.
Got it.
So you are probably going to get less of a complaint, not because Castro is doing anything to help them, but because they're used to the shit.
Yeah. I mean, that was shitted by the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Why go above the middle class and shit on the head table when it's the middle class that is shitting on me. You know what I mean? I get it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, and again, this does not excuse what he does to the middle class.
No.
We're not saying that the middle class deserved it, but the reason that there's more attention is because people with money, educated people who could raise awareness.
Correct.
are being victimized.
But that's with everything else, mm-hmm. even in the United States, it's like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the French Revolution, too. We talk about the French Revolution. You act like the Louis weren't killing peasants, hundreds of thousands of peasants every single century. But now the nobles are getting their heads chopped off. Now it's chaos. It's anarchy.
Hmm. What do you mean, eat cake?
Mm-hmm. You know, the Great Depression. You know, poor people been poor for in America for what, 200 years?
Since there's been an America.
But then bankers start throwing themselves out of windows. Wait, and now
it's... Whoa. What is happening?
Right.
That's very true. You
know? Exactly.
That's very true.
Yeah. Africa's been dying from Ebola virus for the longest time.
Uh-huh.
One lady arrives in Chicago with Ebola.
Uh-huh.
Shut it down.
It's actually probably pretty good that you should shut it down.
Oh, Houston. It's Ebola. Was it Houston? No, it was in Austin, Texas. She was in Austin, Texas?
Yeah. I keep Austin weird, man.
She survived, right?
I think so.
Ooh, rest impossible?
Yeah, I don't know.
Rest impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and this is, you know, it's, you know, Castro going to Raul, and then whoever the guy is in charge right now.
Who's it's that not Raul?
No, it's not Raul. No,
Julian?
There's a different president. He's not a Castro. He's not a Castro.
Tito. But he's Tito Castro. But he's a military guy, though.
He's a, yeah, right? Of course, he's the really? Same.
We don't some know. Generalissimo.
Wait, is Raul dead?
Raul's not dead, no, but I think Raul's not in charge. He bowed out in 2018.
Hey, Siri.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the president of Cuba?
Miguel Diaz-Canel is the president of Cuba.
Thank you.
There we go.
All right.
So there we are. And it's not going to get better.
Hmm.
It's not going to get better until there's support for the island. There is... You got to have people who are willing to have a working relationship with the island. Mm-hmm. Because... Again, embargo is not going to work. I know you really want to punish Castro for what he did, but at the same time, it continues the streak of that island's never going to know
sure
democracy. That island's never going to know a republic or free trade.
And if they don't know it, then how can they want it?
Exactly. So there we are right now. And so Cuba's basically there. It's the same problem that Venezuela has, same problem that Haiti has.
I mean, with Puerto Rico, is like, you know, a lot of people romanticize with the whole thing. I keep using that word. Because it sounds so goddamn sexy. Of the independence of Puerto Rico. Shut up, Siri. I'm done talking to you. With the independence of Puerto Rico. But it's like, okay, they go independent. What do... We don't have anything. Mm-hmm. Everything has been taken. The sugar, the coffee field. Nobody wants to work on the field.
Right.
You've pretty much rocked to sleep everybody there with
it just had to turn into a tourist economy like the Bahamas.
Right. It's not a
you see how it works out for them.
It's not the most popular option, but the only way for it to be successful as far as independent is the United States basically has to have a 20-year program where it builds the island back up.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the docks.
Yeah, there you go.
Give us the docks. That's a good start. But then but again, that's not going to be enough because
you need a lot.
Everybody, it's take just
money,
everybody
money and time.
They've been numb. They've been numb with the handouts.
Right.
They've been numb with the welfare.
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know what I mean? You know,
you need a total infrastructure change.
Yeah.
You need a private electric company to go in there, redo the whole grid.
Oh, we
you
did
need,
that. We had that.
Oh, you had that already?
We had that already.
But the, what's his name? Elon Musk wants to do a whole new, like, Tesla grid or whatever.
No, yeah. He wants to call it Musk Island. That's what he wants to do.
Hey, Elon Musk, didn't your self-driving car just murder somebody?
No, someone murdered themselves with his self-driving car.
The self-driving, how?
They stepped in front of it.
No, the car crashed. The guy was in the self-driving car playing a video game. And the car just veered in the middle of heavy traffic.
I'm sorry, Dave.
And I'm sorry, Dave, but I am going to take this.
I'll still take a self-driving car 10 times out of 10.
Really?
Yes.
I will not take...
Are you kidding me?
Not...
Okay, so how many accidents have we had with self-driving cars?
I will not...
Like two?
There are two cars?
No, get out of here.
How many self-driving cars are there?
Much more than you think there are, apparently.
Three.
I know someone with one.
Oh, you do know?
Yes, I do. I've been in one. I was like,
really?
Whoa, this is crazy. It was a Tesla. It's so much safer than people driving cars.
I don't trust it.
Well, then you're an idiot.
I don't trust it. I just don't trust it.
What's that to trust?
I don't know.
Old
dude.
Man
it's
Pedro.
Just, yeah, it's just so scary.
Get out of here.
I know. I tend to agree a little bit. I tend to agree a little bit. Like, that's one of the reasons I don't even like cruise ships and planes because I'm not in control.
I don't like getting on an Uber. Because I got to depend on the guy driving.
That's so different. Weird. It's so different.
Yeah. So you trust a computer. You're like, a computer will never fail.
I didn't say that. I said a computer has a much lower failure rate than humans.
All right.
All right.
So the failures of a self-driving car, a lot lower, though, than a island of self with no self-governance.
Oh, boy.
Have robots.
That island's been on autopilot for a long time.
It's, yeah. And it's not going to get any better unless something is... There's a change in culture, and there's... It's been that way since the 1500s. So, Castro was a monster, but Fulgencio Batista was a monster, but Machado was a monster, but Hernan Cortez was a monster.
Is
the current guy a monster?
He looks so handsome.
We have to assume.
Probably.
He is so handsome.
I haven't done a recent, but it's Antichrist. Just, if all you knew if it's how to history. Be bring up by monsters, yeah. Of course you're going to spawn another monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he's less of a monster this time.
Hopefully. So.
Is he letting them read Harry Potter books? You know, that's a good start.
Right. Well, our train's going to come into Harry Potter through as well. As we pan out there.
The hell is this? Okay. You should have started the episode with this.
I don't know why we didn't. I forgot to cue him. That's my fault.
I didn't know to jump in. But I figured we'd leave with it.
That's all right. We're doing good there, so.
This would have been great to have some pina coladas.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for this episode of Past True Histories. Going into Cuba. Enjoy your night. I am Professor Dan P. Pedro Lima.
With my feet in the sand.
Chris Crespo.
What up?
Pedro, is there any social medias and shows we should tell them about?
You know what? For this episode, I'm not going to give you my social media thing. I am just going to say to my Cuban friends, I love you all.
Right.
And I am with you in whatever struggle it is that you need at that time.
Wepa.
Keep making those Cuban sandwiches delicious.
Orale.
And don't worry. I will have plenty of things to make fun of Italians and Syrians later on. Don't worry. We just take an objective view of everyone.
A PFT Media production.